Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. It's Monday, fired up for another week of answering questions about the Catholic faith. Hope you are too. Thanks for being here with us on this fine October day. I hope it's a fine October day where you are. Our guest this hour is all about the evangelization, and that's what we're going to talk about this first hour, evangelization. What? Is that what? I thought that's what Protestants did. Are Catholics supposed to do that? No, indeed. Catholics are meant to evangelize, and most have gotten the message, especially since the time of, I think, Pope John Paul II and his stress on the new evangelization. So we will talk about evangelization this hour, and if you have questions about how to evangelize, when, where, why, give us a call, 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. Our guest this hour is Steve Dawson. About 12 years ago, Steve had a powerful conversion to the Catholic faith. Since then, he's been active in various Catholic ministries and in leadership in the pro-life movement. Steve spent 14 months with the Franciscan Friars of the Immaculate. Was it Immaculate Heart, Steve?
Or is it? The Franciscans of the Immaculate.
Oh, that's what it's called. Before discerning his call to actually work for the church as a layman. And he is the founder and president of St. Paul Street Evangelization. If you have questions for Steve about evangelization, 888-318-7884. Steve, thanks for being with us.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Cy.
So first of all, maybe for those who don't know, tell us a little bit about St. Paul Street Evangelization.
Yeah, so I, well, like you said, I had a powerful conversion about 12 years ago, and I discerned religious life. I entered the Franciscans, and I soon discerned out of that, but I knew that God was calling me to do something for him and his church. And I heard the call of St. John Paul II, who was calling us to a new evangelization. But I didn't really know how to go about doing evangelization. And so, you know, I would do my best to evangelize family or friends, coworkers, the best I could. However, it was awkward to me. And I even felt called to do more, to evangelize random people in my life. How do I evangelize, you know, people at the grocery store or my waitress or out in public? And so I didn't really do it. I thought I was called to do it. I felt the call to do it, but I didn't do it because I thought it would be too strange. I know if somebody walked up to me in the grocery store and said, "Hey, can you pass me the Frosted Flakes? And by the way, can I tell you about Jesus?" I would have said to them, "Get out of my face." Like, that's strange. But I heard the story of St. Maximilian Kolbe, and he did something to evangelize random people in public circumstances or situations that I thought I could do. And what St. Maximilian did was he would hand out miraculous medals to random people that he had never met before. And I thought, well, I could do that. I can just hand out miraculous medals. So what I did is I purchased 1,000 miraculous medals, and I committed to distributing each and every one to a different person. And I had such amazing, fruitful encounters that I just thought, wow, you know, this is awesome. And from there, I started asking, I started realizing, you know, there was a lot of evangelization that I saw, public evangelization going on in Protestantism. There was the Jehovah's Witnesses would evangelize, the Mormons would evangelize. But I never saw any Catholics doing any sort of evangelization. And I thought to myself, you know, we have the fullness of truth. And all these other religious denominations or sects have just partial truth, and they're doing a good job of taking of evangelizing people with that partial truth or even error, and they're pulling a lot of people out of the Catholic Church. And I thought, where are all the Catholics? And so I thought, well, why don't I just go out and do something? So a couple friends of mine, my friend Nick and Caitlin and my wife, we went out to Portland, and we just started passing out rosaries and miraculous medals, and we were just amazed by all the fruit that was being born. And so that's how St. Paul Street Evangelization got started. That's just the short version. And I don't think we have time to say any more right now.
888-318-7884, our number. Steve Dawson, our guest, is the founder of St. Paul Street Evangelization. If you haven't heard about it, you will. But most of our listeners, I imagine, have, because we talk about St. Paul Street Evangelization all the time, and we have the spots that run daily referring to St. Paul Street Evangelization. So it is something that we've been that we feel kind of that we're partners in here at Catholic Answers. I hope you feel
Absolutely.
That same way, Steve.
Absolutely.
Lots of calls for you already, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Mark in Chicago, listening on the CatholicAnswersLive.com. You are up first, Mark. Your question for Steve Dawson.
Hi, Steve. Thanks so much for taking my call. I actually have two questions. Is that okay if I mean, I don't know how the format actually is. Is that okay if I have two questions for you?
It's fine. The second one is $5.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Actually, it's right, 10
well,
because I want 5.
I go to the ATM machine.
Okay. 10.
5 for you, Cy, 5 for me.
Okay. The first question I have for you is what's the best success story? So let's see, you're on the street, you've been doing this for, a long time. I'm very curious. What's the one thing, if somebody asks you and you say, wow, I know this is why I do this. Is there a story that you have kind of to help, make it more relevant? You know what I mean? You've been doing this forever. And just to try to, so we can kind of see it a little better. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. So, excuse me. There are so many awesome and amazing stories, evangelization stories from our time out on the street, also in my personal life. God has been graciously allowed us to see some of the fruit. Mostly in evangelization, we're just in the business of planting seeds. It's not our job to be successful, as St. Mother Teresa says, but it's our job to be faithful. So when I first started doing street evangelization and other types of evangelization, I really expected that I wouldn't be seeing a lot of fruit, especially in street evangelization, but I knew that I was called, and I just was I was okay with just planting seeds. However, from the get-go, we were really amazed at how much fruit we were bearing. I mean, God was producing fruit from the seeds we were planting. And I could go on for hours with stories, but one of the very first stories and one of my favorite was I was out passing out rosaries, miraculous medals. We had a little blanket set up and people were walking by. And a young man came by. He was maybe in his 20s. He had tattoos and piercings all over his body. He looked tough. I thought he was going to punch me in the nose, but he just walked up to me and he said, I want a rosary. I want one of those things that you got there. And I said, sure. Are you Catholic? And he said, I was raised Catholic, but I don't think that I could be considered Catholic any longer. And I said, well, tell me about your story. Because one of the most important things we can do in evangelization is listen to people and hear what they're trying to say instead of just feed them information. So I listened to his story. It turned out that he was raised Catholic. He had received First Communion. However, his father was imprisoned when he was very young, and his mother wasn't in the scene very much, and he ended up having to raise himself, got into gangs and a lot of trouble, violence, and you can tell he had just lived a rough life, and he told me that he had committed every sin in the book, basically, and that he just felt like totally disconnected from God. And I believe the Holy Spirit prompted me to ask him, well, what do you think would happen if you died today? Now, I normally wouldn't ask that question. It just came out. And he said, I know that I would go to hell. And at this point, I proceeded to give him my personal testimony. I had been a drug addict in my teenage years and even in my early 20s before my conversion. I had lived homeless for a little while. And I had committed every sin in the book. So I was able to relate to him. I was So I gave my testimony in that, and then I led into a proclamation of God's love and his mercy, that God loves him, and there is no sin too great that the Lord can't forgive if he just turns to him and repents and changes his life. And I told him that all he needed to do as a Catholic is go to confession. And he said, he told me that he wanted to do that. And I almost fainted because, you know, he was just looking at me with this a stare, and I just didn't know how he was receiving it. But, you know, I could see that after that, he got a little tear in his eye, and he said, I want to go to confession. I want to change my life. And I said, great, meet me here at this church. Now, he didn't have a car. He didn't have transportation. And he told me that that church was very far, and it would probably take him a couple hours in public transportation to get there, but he was going to show up. So I said, all right, I'll see you there. And when I arrived at church that morning, Sunday morning, he was sitting on the church steps, and he went to Mass. And after Mass, I introduced him to my priest, and we talked with the priest for about 20 minutes, and then he said, I want to go to confession. And he went to confession, and he skipped out of the confessional about, you know, a half hour later. He said, I'm a new man. I'm going to start my life over again. And from that time, I would see him at things like, you know, First Friday devotions and Stations of the Cross. And it was, that's just one story. So yeah, I mean, I could go on for hours. And you know, a lot of times people say, well, street evangelization can't be effective. I'm telling you, a two-minute conversation with a person you've never met can radically change their life forever. So that's the answer to your question. That's one of my favorite stories, but I got a lot more. So what was your second question?
The other one is when you meet someone on the street and you get the dialogue and you're talking and so when would you can you give me an example of like when you know the Holy Spirit is present and kind of taken over? I think I heard you say that you got to kind of step out of the way. This is another conversation, another time, but it's what does that look like?
Sure. So Holy Spirit is the principal agent of evangelization. He is not only working in the person who's being evangelized, but also working in the person who's evangelizing. So the Holy Spirit is on both ends of the conversation. So are our guardian angels. I know personally. So when I'm saying something, I might say I believe that the Holy Spirit has come into the conversation, but I only know looking back. I can't tell it's happening as I'm speaking. But sometimes I'll just say something, like the time I just explained, that I didn't know where the words came from. They just came out of my mouth. I wasn't expecting to say those words. But and then looking back upon that after the conversation is over, I say, well, that's the Holy Spirit. So that's how I know, you know, that's it.
All right, Mark, thank you so much for those questions. You can send your $5 to St. Paul Street Evangelization. If you want to split it both ways, you can send five here too. Only kidding, Mark. You don't have to pay the $5. I do want to let people know, though, we've already kicked off our annual fall store-wide fall sale. Last weekend's hundreds of listeners are already taking full advantage of the savings. It's a great way to save money on all the great resources you hear about here at Catholic Answers Live. Just enter promo code CALIVE18 at checkout when you visit shop.catholic.com to save 20% off hundreds of items in our online store, including books, CDs, DVDs, things by Jimmy Akin, Trent Horn, Chris Check, everybody else. Visit shop.catholic.com and begin saving. Be sure to enter the promo code CALIVE18 at checkout to save.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
Every single day, I get to help our listeners of the Sunrise Morning Show wake up find out what's going on in the church and the world, and then walk with them as we all seek to grow in knowledge and love of Jesus Christ and the Catholic faith. I mean, how could it get any better?
The Sunrise Morning Show with Anna Mitchell and Matt Swain. Tomorrow morning, 6 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Oh, we're starting off Monday well. We've got Steve Dawson here, the founder of St. Paul Street Evangelization as our guest, and we're talking about evangelizing. And if you've ever had the inspiration to evangelize, I'm guessing that you have. Maybe you have just walked past that inspiration, but if you've been baptized, you probably had that inspiration at some time to share the good news, and you think, hey, I need a little help figuring out how to do this. Well, Steve's the guy for that, and if you'd like to talk with him, 888-318-7884 is the number. Also, St. Paul Street Evangelization, you've got a new institute, right, where you're doing some teaching of how to evangelize?
Right, right. So when we were first founded about 6 years ago, we were founded strictly as a street evangelization apostolate. But we found out very quickly that we had more to offer to the church. We were training our evangelists in how to evangelize out on the streets, but everything that we were training them in basically could be used in a variety of different circumstances in a person's life. How to evangelize my family members? How do I evangelize my friends? So we started opening up the training to dioceses and parishes just to train the laity in evangelization. I've been very successful, I'd say. All over the country, we're giving training, evangelization training. And we eventually discerned that God was calling us to form the St. Paul Evangelization Institute, which its mission is to train, equip, and mobilize Catholics for the work of evangelization. Now, we're training and equipping through a brand new school of evangelization. We have an online component where people can go online and get trained up through courses that we offer. And we also are launching a live school this January where we'll have classes. Our hope is to actually have satellite classes all over the country eventually, but we're starting in the Detroit, Michigan area. And again, we have online classes as well for those who can't make it to Detroit. Now, we're training and equipping through the school, and we're mobilizing now through St. Paul Street Evangelization and a brand new society of evangelists, which currently we have lay brothers, but we're hoping someday to have priests and sisters and that the society will become a full-fledged religious order. So, yeah, it's very excited. We launched in July. And it's a glorious time to be a member of the Catholic Church.
And a website where people can find out all about it.
Sure. stpaulevangelization.com for the institute, and you can find all our different sub-apostolates, like the school, the street evangelization apostolate, and the society from there. And if there's anybody out there discerning a religious vocation and they want to dedicate their lives to evangelization, check out the society. It's awesome.
All right, we go now to Tom in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Tom, thank you for waiting. Your question for Steve Dawson.
Well, thanks for taking my call. We've heard over the past month or two or more, including from the Pope himself, that the laity are supposed to be active in this scandal and seeing that it comes to a good conclusion and so forth. Well, I've never heard from any of the talk shows or anybody, what is it the laity are supposed to do? Well, what are we supposed to do? I have cut off all money to the institutional church in an effort to put pressure on them. But what, you know, well, I write a letter to the Pope, or, you know, what should we do? It's really practical.
Okay, Tom.
Excellent, Tom.
Question.
Yeah, so the lady's role is critical, both in evangelization and the reform of the church. throughout the centuries. We've gone through many crises in the church, and I believe that we are in a crisis today. And the crisis has many different flavors. And the scandal, the abuse scandal, is one of them. I will say that the most important thing that the lady can do is be holy. So we need to individually be saints. And I don't do a great job at this, but my goal in life is to become a saint, and if it's God's will, to even be canonized. Now, I'm not going to say I'm not Mother Teresa, but I'm working, I'm doing my best to do God's will in my life as best I can. So I'm a sinner, and hopefully one day I'll get there. But I know for sure that one thing that I can do to make the church holy is to be holy myself. The second thing is evangelization. I mean, it is not the priests who are going to be on the forefront of evangelization at this time in the history of the church. It is the lady. So we have to be an example of holiness to the world, and we have to proclaim the gospel, the fullness of the gospel in Jesus Christ, the proclamation of salvation. That is our job. And finally, just referring to the scandal, I think it is very common that somebody will say to me, Steve, how do you respond to people out on the streets who are angry about the scandal and who use that as to bash the Catholic Church? And the first thing that I'll say is, surprisingly, who I find is the most upset about the scandal are faithful Catholics. I'm mad about the scandal. However, in the general, when we're out doing street evangelization, it doesn't come up that much. But I do have to say that when it does come up, the first thing that I do, and this is just a little bit of teaching to anybody out there who might want to know how to address the scandal in the church and evangelization if people bring it up, I say the first thing to do is to agree with people where you can, that it's a horrible thing and we need to do something about it. We need to justice needs to be served. And from there, I often bring up the fact that the church, you know, Jesus Christ warned us that there would be scandal in the church. And in fact, he said the weeds would grow with the wheat. But and just because somebody becomes a Christian or a Catholic or even a priest or a bishop, God doesn't take away their free will at that moment. And they sin, and they can even gravely sin. So, and I'll use the example of Judas. I'll ask a person, hey, do you know who one of the first bad bishops was? And they say, who? I'll say, well, Judas, you know. So, and then finally, I'll just say, look, we can't leave Jesus because of Judas, right? We got to stay close to Jesus. We got to stay close to the Catholic Church. And lastly, I'll say, you know, it's not the people. It's not. There's nothing wrong with Christianity or Catholicism that makes people, you know, do scandalous behavior. It's not the people who are following the teachings of the Catholic Church, the teachings of Jesus Christ, who are committing these atrocities. It is the people who are precisely not following Jesus, the ones who say they follow Jesus, but do something other than what Jesus commands us to do. So that's my advice to you, and just be holy. That's what I say, be holy.
Tom, thank you so much for that call. We appreciate it. I have to say, some people, I think, Steve, will say, well, I don't mean should I be, you know, ask a question about like what I should do as far as being holy and all that. I mean, is there some kind of protest or something like that? And the answer is that the way that Christ does things is not like the way the world does things. Wouldn't you say? I mean, I think there's this desire to do, and Christ tells us be holy as your Father in heaven is holy, and we go, yeah, but what do I do? And I do think that's a worldly way of thinking sometimes.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'll go a step further. I agree with that 100%. However, I do think that Christ calls some people to act. And in fact, we're all supposed to act on this scandal. Some people may just be called to pray, right? Others hey, contact your bishop, you know. Others might form a committee or something like that. I have friends who are forming a committee and doing all sorts of good things and lay committees, lay involvement and all this. So I think it's a good thing. I think the key is, what is God calling me to do? What is God calling me to do? And at the end of the day, after we discern what God's calling us to do, we should just do it and be at peace. Because I know a lot of people are losing peace. And so what I do is I've written a letter to my bishop, just encouraging him, asking him to, you know, anyway, I won't go into the details of it, but just being an encouragement and saying my concerns. I've been praying for the Holy Father. I've been praying for the church, and then I'm at peace. You know, I've been evangelizing. So that's it, you know.
Steve Dawson is our guest. He's the founder and president of St. Paul Street Evangelization, and that is what we are talking about today, evangelizing. We're all called to be evangelizers. If you've been baptized, as the saying goes, you are a missionary. Well, how do we do that? That's what the conversation is about today. We'll get to more of that after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Got questions? Visit us today at Catholic.com.
A generation ago, Christian parents didn't have to worry about how to explain transgenderism to their 9-year-old children or help their teenager deal with mockery at school for believing in traditional marriage. But today, as our culture decays, we have to know how to talk to our children about these issues. In Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues, Layla Miller and Trent Horn give parents the crucial tools and techniques to form children with the understanding they need, appropriate to their age and maturity level, to meet the world's challenges. If we're not teaching our children how to understand tough moral issues, then the world will. Read Made This Way and learn how to give your kids a firm foundation on which to build a life of moral clarity and happiness. Order your copy of Made This Way today by calling 1-888-291-8000 or logging onto the shop at Catholic.com.
With the recent commemoration of the 50th anniversary of the release of Humani Vitae, there have been fresh attacks on Catholic teaching from outside and, unfortunately, inside the Church. That's why Catholic Answers thought it critical to provide a vigorous affirmation of Pope Paul VI's prophetic wisdom with our newest book, Inseparable, 5 Perspectives on Sex, Life, and Love in Defense of Humani Vitae. We asked 5 distinguished contributors to reflect on and defend Humani Vitae from 5 perspectives, each of them compelling, together forming a mosaic of truth. Don't be caught uninformed when the topic comes up among friends, family, and co-workers. Order your copy of Inseparable today by calling 1-888-291-8000 or by visiting the shop at Catholic.com.
We all need stuff to survive. But how much stuff?
How much is too much?
Let's discuss material possessions on tomorrow's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Now, let's return to more of Catholic Answers Live.
We're talking evangelization with Steve Dawson, the founder and president of St. Paul Street Evangelization. And your calls are welcome, 888-318-7884. We go now to Paul in Napa, California, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Paul, thanks for downloading the app onto your phone. Your question for Steve.
Yes. Hey, guys. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Happy to.
So I have done some evangelization myself, and it's amazing. And when this topic comes up, I always, you know, very interested in that type of thing. So, but I can't do it by myself, and I try to get other Catholics to, you know, help me or support me or, you know, come with me and that type of thing. And it's still, I find it difficult. I mean, I think Catholic are, it's, you know, like years ago, I started a men's book club, and I invite guys, hey, we're doing a book club, blah, 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 blah. And it, kind of the one answer that I'd usually get is like, well, no, thank you. I'm fine where I'm at, you know, or I'm too busy, you know, and that really the too busy has really gotten me, you know, bothered because it's like, well, what are you too busy with? You know, I mean, so so my question is, how do I start evangelizing Catholics?
Yeah.
If that's a question.
So I hear, so if I can maybe rephrase your question, I hear two kind of points. One, that faithful Catholics that you know seem to be uninterested in evangelization, and why is that? And second of all, how do you get them to actually evangelize? And so they're related. And there's a couple. So in our one of the things that we do at St. Paul Evangelization Institute and St. Paul Street Evangelization specifically is we try to mobilize Catholics to do the work of evangelization. And I have to tell you that we have found challenges in convincing Catholics that there is a need to evangelize. We've been called to evangelize, and it seems like many in the Catholic Church are asleep at the wheel, even among faithful Catholics. And I'm going to say something that might be a little bit controversial. I might never be invited back on Catholic Answers for saying this, but no. but no, I think many Catholics, even among the faithful, have a quasi-universalist mentality, a kind of attitude like, they might not say that everybody is saved, but I think basically they just feel like most people are going to heaven, and except maybe for Hitler and a few other people. And so there's not great urgency for the work of evangelization. And one of the things that motivated me to start evangelization is a recognition that the salvation of souls are on the line. And I'm not alone, and I'm not trying to compare myself to the saints. But really, if you look at the lives of the great missionary saints in the church, all the way back to the New Testament, from Saint Paul to and Jesus even before him, but to Saint Francis of Assisi and Saint Francis Xavier, who many say would be the greatest missionary saint of all time outside of the New Testament, the thing that really drove them was the salvation of souls, the realization that each individual soul was on the line. And if you really look at the letters of, for example, of St. Francis Xavier to St. Ignatius of Loyola, you'll see that urgency. So many souls are on the line. We need more missionaries. So one of the things that we try to do in our course, one of the first courses that we actually have is on the urgency of evangelization, why evangelization is urgent. And look, we're not saying that anything about numbers. Are most people going to hell? I mean, although the Lord does say the road is wide versus the road is narrow, we all know that, you know. But so it's God's decision who gets to heaven and who doesn't. But it's our decision to kind of like take what the Lord said seriously and to do something about it. And so urgency, we need to have urgency. Second of all, and actually I'll just use this quick image. You see a house that's burning, you know, on fire, there's danger, and you see that there's people inside. Every single person here is going to run up to the house and do whatever it takes to warn them that there's danger. And I think that's the way that the saints and the Catholic evangelists of old used to look at the salvation. There's danger. We need to do something about it. Second, in addition, I think Catholics are afraid. They don't know. They don't feel equipped to evangelize. So, again, that's something that we try to do. And let me just say this. You don't have to be a Jimmy Akin or a Cy here to be a great evangelist. As long as you love Jesus and you have a good story, like you have a story that you can relate your personal testimony, and it doesn't even have to be a good story, it's just your story, you can be a great evangelist. And people are afraid, and so we at St. Paul Evangelization try to help people overcome those fears. And finally, in addition, I would just say, Paul, that that don't give up. I mean, just one of the things that I did is I would go out and evangelize myself. I'd come with stories, and then I would share them with my friends. Hey, can I tell you this story about this gang member that I evangelized, and he went to confession? And people are like, wow, what did you say? And I tell them what I said, and they say to themselves, well, that doesn't sound so difficult. I could do that. So that's my encouragement to you. Keep evangelizing. We're all called. And just do it. That's all I got to say.
Very Nike answer there. Paul, thanks very much for that call. I'm going to move quickly now because there's a lot of people who want to talk with you.
Okay.
Susan, all right. On Sacred Heart Radio in Cincinnati, you are up next. Susan, your question for Steve Dawson. Susan? I said there's a lot of people, but now there's no Susan. Let me move on to Mike. We'll come back to Susan. Mike in Des Moines, listening to EWTN on the radio. Well, Mike, your question for Steve Dawson.
Hi, Mr. Dawson. I was wondering, if you like go to a park or out on the street or something, don't you have to get a permit to, otherwise aren't you worried about the cops coming along?
Yeah, so no, I'm not worried about the cops coming along. Most of the time when you're evangelizing in a public space, we have the right to the freedom of speech in this country in public areas. So like a public park, public sidewalk in a downtown area. At the very minimum, we can, have a backpack with evangelization resources, rosaries, miraculous medals, things like that, pamphlets. We can walk around and talk to people. That's the minimum. However, in most places, you can set up a little table put some rosaries on some pamphlets, as long as you don't impede the flow of foot traffic. So every area is going to be a little bit different, and you if you want to do it, either go out there and evangelize and just start doing it, and or call your local your city. I mean, I've gotten to the point where I don't even bother calling anymore, and it's just because I've never ever had a problem, and so. Yeah, don't worry about it. And we have over 300 teams of evangelists doing thousands of evangelization outings every year, and we've never had one team anywhere get a ticket. A couple times people have had the police come over and say, hey, what are you doing here? You're not allowed to sell things out here. And we say, well, we're not selling anything. Everything's free. Would you like a rosary? And then the police officer say, yeah, sure, I need a rosary. So the police walk away happy, and we get to stay.
And you're evangelizing in all kinds of places. I remember seeing, in my city down by the pier here in Oceanside, they each Saturday or several Saturdays a month are that down there. But my favorite was on the Strip in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
You have evangelizers out there. I imagine. Have you been out there to that particular spot?
I haven't, but I'm willing to go. I've evangelized in similar type of locations, downtown areas where you've got a lot of bar travel and, so God work is working everywhere. We need to be everywhere. And we need to, you see Jehovah's Witnesses out there all over the place. We need to have like five times as many evangelists out there as anybody else.
Mike, thank you so much. Appreciate that. I'm going to try Susan again, see if we can get her. Susan, from Sacred Heart Radio in Cincinnati. Are you there? And do you have a question for Steve? All I got was a chime. So maybe I don't know if Susan is a droid, but we'll take a quick break. I want to, before we go though, Catholic Answers Magazine, great opportunity to get subscriptions for family, friends, seminarians, high school or college students. Get one for yourself right now. When you subscribe, you get the digital subscription added to your order absolutely free. That's a $20 value, basically. Well, $19.95 value for free. You just go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com to subscribe. I'm telling you right now, if you have questions about the Catholic faith, there is nothing better than Catholic Answers Magazine. There is no publication in the world better for answering questions about the faith than Catholic Answers Magazine. Just go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com right now and get absolutely free a digital subscription added to your order.
Catholic Answers Live.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
EWTN, teaching the truth.
Well, I don't think we're like the typical college students because we really hang out at our campus ministry and everything. It's amazing about how much more connected you feel. We share really cool articles from actually you guys, EWTN, and like what you were saying about evangelization. So that's really nice.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Next hour, Gary Machuda will be here. We're going to talk about why Catholic Bibles are bigger. Oh, you've probably noticed that. There's a few books in the Catholic Bible that you might not find in your local Protestant Bible. Why is that? Where did all these books come from? How did they get there? And why do Catholics say the Bible is a bit bigger than Protestants do? Gary Machuda is the man for that conversation, so hang around for that. This hour, we're talking to Steve Dawson, the founder and president of St. Paul Street Evangelization. You can find out all about them by going to stpaulevangelization.com, stpaulevangelization.com, or you can just call here. 888-31-TRUTH is the number. And we go now to Randy in Detroit, Michigan, listening on 990 AM. Randy, thanks for your call. Your question for Steve.
Yeah, thanks, guys. This is a great show. Catholic Answers, Street Evangelization, love them both.
Thank you.
My question is for Steve. I heard one of your ads say that Catechism of the Catholic Church teaches that evangelization is necessary for salvation. Can you tell me where the Catechism says that and the reason behind that teaching?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I know, because it's one of my favorite verses in the Catechism, because I need to remind myself of this verse, because even for me, I now do evangelization and work in an evangelization apostolate for my life. I've given my entire life to the work of evangelization. But sometimes I still need to be motivated to actually evangelize, and I have to ask myself, am I doing enough? So this verse in the Catechism is paragraph 1816, says, and this is off the top of my head, so I'm not reading it, but it basically says that bearing witness to the faith for the disciple is necessary for salvation. So for the disciple, bearing witness and service to the faith is necessary for salvation. And the reason is really, it's a common sense reason to me. Think of a doctor, okay, or maybe a scientist who discovers a cure for cancer. Okay. He's got the cure for cancer, and then you find out that the scientist keeps it to himself. He doesn't share it with the world. He doesn't share it with anybody. We have to ask ourselves, each one of us would realize that a scientist who discovered the cure for cancer and knew that he could share it with the world and didn't, he chose not to, there would be one of either two things wrong with him. Either A, he didn't believe. He didn't have faith that he actually had the cure for cancer, or B, that he was a bad man, a selfish man. For whatever reason, he didn't share it with the world, because there are people dying of cancer and he didn't share with them the very thing that could save them. Well, the gospel, the proclamation of salvation is about eternal souls. Okay, and the cure for cancer is great, but with that you're only dealing with earthly life. The gospel can save people's lives from eternal loss, eternal damnation. So it's infinitely more important to share with the world the gospel, the saving gospel of Jesus Christ, than it is to share with the world the cure for cancer. And so note the Catechism said the disciple. So this is the person who knows what the church teaches about salvation, who understands that souls are on the line and still choose to keep it to themselves to share that. So that's what the church is talking about. Now, does that mean that every single individual needs to be a card-carrying Catholic who evangelizes other people to the Catholic Church in order to be saved? No, that's not what the Catechism is saying. You know, Jesus said, if you don't eat my body and drink my blood, you don't have eternal life in you. You don't have salvation. So there are exceptions. You know, God, you know, not every person who has never received the Eucharist is damned either. So so the church, when it speaks like this, when Jesus speaks about salvation, is talking about general norm, but God can still work outside those norms. So the purpose that we discuss the need for evangelization is, again, going back to an earlier caller, we're trying to wake up Catholics. We're trying to get across to them that this work is urgent, not simply for the salvation of other people's souls, but for the souls of the evangelists. And finally, you know, we're not trying to scare people into evangelization, although that's not the worst motivation there is. You know, a lot of people get scared going into the confessional, and that's the reason, but it's still a good thing. You know, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. However, whatever gets you out there, you will walk away with joy. Because evangelization is not simply a duty that one fulfills in order to check off a box. No, it is about sharing the goodness and love of God. And whatever gets you out there, you'll walk away a changed person. And so I just encourage evangelization.
Thanks, Randy. Lots of calls. Going to keep moving. Harsha in Houston, Texas, you are up next. Your question for Steve Dawson.
Hi. I don't know if this question is completely relevant to the topic at hand, but I'm asking more for a friend than for myself. I'm currently in catechesis to join the church soon.
Hey.
But, yeah. So I was reading somewhere that the perfect pagan who is using his reason to follow God's law that he sees in nature should morally look like the perfect Catholic. I don't know if that analysis is correct, but given that, and correct me if I'm wrong, how does faith in the church and in Christ change our behavior and our thinking, even if we're already striving and succeeding to live a moral life according to what we see in the natural law?
Okay. I hear a couple questions, and I'm one of them that I'll answer, and that I might have a better chance of answering is, why should we evangelize people who into the Catholic faith if they're not if they can actually be saved like a perfect pagan? And I know that's not what you said, although that's what I'm reading. The call screener has showed me that question, and I had it in my mind to answer that question. And so the first of all thing is, as I said earlier, it is possible to be saved outside the visible bounds of the Catholic Church, as it says in Vatican II document Lumen Gentium. However, it also says in the same document that, you know, there's a better chance, and I'm paraphrasing, that we have a better chance of being saved in the Catholic Church because we have all the means of salvation. So we have the fullness of truth. We have all the means of salvation, all the means of all the graces that we need that Christ has established for our salvation to help us get to heaven. So while it's possible to be saved outside the visible bounds of the Catholic Church, we have a better chance of first knowing exactly what it is that God asks of us and all the means of grace that can get us through to the end. So I'll use another doctor analogy, science analogy. If a person has cancer, it is possible that they can take some medicine A that to have a cure for cancer, and they take medicine A and it does good. But what we want to give that cancer patient is the full means of their salvation, basically. We want to not only give them this medicine, we want to make sure that they change their lifestyle, that they live a healthy life, that they're eating right, that they're even getting, all sorts of different things. If they need chemo, we're giving them chemo, etc. So that's what I would say to that. I don't know. I mean, does a pagan who follows the natural law perfectly look like a Catholic? In many ways, I'm sure they would. But are they receiving the fullness of God's grace? Are they meeting Jesus in the Eucharist? And so that's what I have to say to that.
We'll leave it there, Harsha. Again, I got to keep moving because there's lots and lots of questions. Philip in New Orleans listening on CatholicAnswersLive.com. You are up next, Philip. Your question for Steve.
Oh, good to be with you. Hello, Steve. Doing good work with street evangelization, but I do have one question that sometimes comes up, and that is this idea of what, street evangelization. Why street evangelization? Because it seems like that has a Protestant connotation, that it brings up the idea of people with the bullhorns walking through the street or carrying the cross in the middle of a large crowd and asking people to repent. So I'd be interested to hear your answer on why specifically street evangelization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the first thing in street evangelization is we need to get the biggest bullhorns, and we don't bash people on the head with Bibles. We use the catechism for that.
For bashing people on the head?
Oh, yeah. No. So it's a joke, right?
Yeah.
You get this image of Bible bashing evangelists. That's what street evangelization is. People standing on the street corners, yelling out of bullhorns. And so, I don't know if there was a time when that sort of evangelization ever worked. I know that some Protestants still do that. But also some Protestants are doing other more, I think, loving methods of evangelization. But I get this question often about street evangelization. Is it a Protestant thing? In fact, I've had people say to me, that is not Catholic. That is not how Catholics evangelize. We evangelize through the works of charity, through working at soup kitchen, for doing pro-life work, etc. And so I would say that's true. We do evangelize in those ways. We do relational evangelization, working with people over periods of time, forming relationships, sharing the gospel. However, most people don't really think too much about this when they say street evangelization is a Protestant thing, because I have to say that street evangelization is older than the New Testament itself. The prophets of old were street evangelists. John the Baptist was a street evangelist. And when I say street evangelist, I'm simply talking about going into a public space and talking to individuals that you'd never met before, like random evangelization opportunities. So Jesus was not only a street evangelist in terms of a street preacher. He would preach to the crowds. But he was also a street evangelist and just striking up conversations with random people in the ordinary circumstances of his life. So think of the woman at the well. So Jesus was a street evangelist. St. Paul the Apostle, street evangelist. Think about him at the river at the famous scene at the Areopagus. And Jesus sent the disciples, the 72, out to preach in the towns and villages. The Acts of the Apostles talk about the apostles going house to house to evangelize. And then, so that's the New Testament. And then if we look at the history of the church, most of the great missionary saints, or evangelists in the church, the reason why we have Catholicism throughout the world is due to public evangelization. Think of the Jesuit martyrs who came to the Americas and they went and they evangelized the Indians. They didn't go there and build the church and then invite people to Mass, So street evangelization, St. Francis of Assisi would go out into the public spaces. St. Francis Xavier used to go into the town square, ring a bell, and do evangelization. So we've just lost in the Catholic Church the street evangelization, but we're here to take it back. And the bottom line is, if it wasn't effective, we wouldn't be doing it. It's effective, but we need more laborers in the vineyard.
Oh, thank you so much for a perfect question to end on. Thanks so much, Philip. Steve Dawson, thank you for a great hour.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me, Cy.
St. Paul Street Evangelization is the ministry we've been discussing, and you can find out all about them at stpaulevangelization.com. Next hour, Gary Machuda will be here. We're going to talk about how the Bible got to be the Bible. Give a call if you want to talk to Gary, 888-31-TRUTH.